As I replace negative thoughts with positive ones, I have positive results. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capel, California, having a ball, living my life in perfect harmony with everyone in my world, and seeing sunshine and flowers every day of my life. And it's wonderful. You know what it is? It really is wonderful. We'll talk more about that. I thought for today, as I replace negative thoughts with positive ones, I have positive results. Now, the first thing I'm going to do is say hogwash. As I replace negative thoughts with positive thoughts, I have positive results. That's not correct. That's not correct. Sylvia, why is it not correct? Loud.
Because you cannot replace thoughts.
Sylvia's trying to tell me something. She says, you cannot replace thoughts. Now, whoever says such an idiotic thing like that you cannot replace thoughts? I mean, that is what we are taught to do. We're taught to replace those negative thoughts. We're taught to get rid of the alcoholism by saying, I am an alcoholic. We're taught to get rid of our narcoticism by saying, I am a narcotic addict, you know. And name it and claim it. I mean, you don't do that. I'm not knocking their program. Their program on the whole is good. But when you have to admit that, then you are proclaiming it for yourself. But what do they say when you don't admit it? You are
in denial.
You're in denial. Well, who wants to be in denial? And why should you ever claim anything that you don't want? If it is something truly that you did and you don't want to do it anymore, you let it alone. You leave it totally alone, giving it no attention, because all the attention we give to it means that we are supporting it. We are endorsing it. We are empowering it. Oh, boy. You know how the teacher has a little boy right on the board? I will not say bad words. I will not say bad words. I will not say bad words. And the little boy says, now, what words are those? Oh. And the moment he thinks about them, he's saying them. Whether he says them in his heart. Jesus said, if a man lusteth after a woman in his heart, he has done so as though it were in fact. And that's true. That's true. We cannot play games with ourselves. Because if we play games with ourselves, now isn't it interesting? I said to my wife, well, she was kind of alone for a while. And I said, well, play with yourself. And she says, Herbie, what are you saying to me? Here, a very innocuous statement to play with yourself. It does not mean to enjoy your own company, which is what it should mean. It means to take your genitals and play with them or something like that. Now, that is an unfortunate thing to attach to a lovely phrase, play with yourself. How many women play with themselves all day long as they sit playing canasta or cards or rummy, you know, and what do you call it, and stitchery, when they knit and they're playing with themselves. And how many, did you ever play with an idea?
Yeah.
Sure, and you're playing with an idea. Now, is that bad? Are you doing naughty things with the idea? And in the first place, and second place, and the last place, who says that's naughty? But we label these things, we name these things, and then people just don't know what to think. So I say that it's very important that we're careful. I don't replace negative thoughts with positive ones, and I have positive results. I think positive thoughts, and I have positive results. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We've used that so often, it almost becomes trite. But it's true. It's true. Now, what happens when I think negative thoughts or when I replace negative thoughts? I must give them attention. Now, have you gotten that last little bad thought out of your mind? Well, which one is that? The one where you think it's okay to steal or to lie or to cheat or to take from others. The one in which you think that you're so good that everybody else lives on this earth for your enjoyment. And that's not true. You live on this earth for your enjoyment. And you have created everyone on this earth for your enjoyment, but they don't live here for your enjoyment. You created them for your enjoyment. Now, there's a difference. For them to live on this earth for your enjoyment means that they are separate from you and they are doing everything blessing for you or negative. For you to create them as your enjoyment. You have created them. So therefore, they cannot come into your life doing anything other than what you have created them to do. And if you have created them to be beautiful people, they're beautiful. If you say, oh, that person always does this dumb stuff. And sure enough, they always do that dumb stuff. No matter what a person's past may be, if mother may have always been dropping things, she's got dropsy, she's always dropping glasses and shoes and whatever, and thank you very much. Mother may have long since ceased doing that, but when you say, oh, mother has dropsy, you bring it up and you give it rebirth in your life, in her presence, of her activity. Is that what you want to do? Apparently it is, because you do it. Now, Sam has a son. And this son is 11 years old. And he comes to the dinner table after being away for a few days. And he says, I want to sit next to my dad. And the rest of the gang, who already know where they're sitting at the table, and they have their places and they want to sit there, they say, no, I'm sitting there. And he says, look, you got him all the time. Now, I've been away for a while. I want to sit there. Now, do you think they object? They know he's not trying to steal the place forever. He'd like it, but he's not trying to steal. They know it's just a temporary thing, and they know that it's important for him. And they created him being a loving, caring, important child. And so when he asks for that, they naturally want to give it up to him because they can't help but love him. He's not doing it to be mean. He's not doing it to have his own way, to demand things. He's doing it because he just loves his pop, and he wants to be near him. You see, he's not trying to stop a war. He is creating peace. Whenever we try to stop a war, we try to take away the ammunition. We try to take away the weaponry and things of violence and stop the war. But you know the best way to stop a war is to flood it with peace. See all the nations involved, and even those not involved, because you don't know who's all involved. There's a lot of chicanery going on, if you wish, and you don't always know the cause. Do you know why she has cancer? She has cancer because she did this, that, and the other thing. Now, does she know that? No. Does the doctor know that? No. The cancer is the only one that knows that, and it has an intelligence inside of her body, too. So, let's just say her cancer was caused by her not trusting her husband. Sounds good? Okay. So, she didn't trust her husband. And she got all emotionally upset, all uptight, all bent out of shape. And then she goes to her metaphysician. And the metaphysician says, the reason that you're experiencing this is because you're all uptight about something. You're just all bent out of shape. You're not letting your bodily functions operate in their harmonious way because your tension and your irritation and, you know, your frustration are shutting them off. Now, the metaphysician, if it's truly a metaphysician and a practitioner, is not going to go any further. But a counselor will go and say, well, now, who have you been having unhappy relationships with recently? Who are you uptight with, you know? Are you uptight with your boss? Are you uptight with your husband? Are you uptight with your family? What sort of tragedies have taken place in your life? Doesn't it sound wonderful? What sort of tragedies have taken place in your life? And so the person who is counseling with them digs in and digs in and digs in and digs in until they finally revive it in all of its pristine glory, all of the hatred and anger and meanness that it involves. And the old cancer inside of them, good, oh boy, I like feeding and that kind of stuff. And that really helps, doesn't it? No.
No, I know.
No, it doesn't help. It helps the cancer, but it doesn't help them. Now you say, but they have now found what the problem is. But you're not going to solve the problem that way. You do not solve a problem by knowing what the problem is. You solve a problem by knowing what it is you want to experience. Now, does she want more cancer? No. Does she want to be whole and perfect?
Yes.
Then what should she be concentrating on, the cancer or the wholeness and perfect?
Wholeness.
So she concentrates on wholeness and perfection, wholeness and perfection. If she thinks about the cancer at all, she's empowering it every time. And it's hard not to think about it because it hurts and it's this. Yes, that's true. But now let's just say to you that your child is falling out of a window. And if you don't reach that child, it's liable to be hurt. So you dash over to the side of the building, you reach up your arms, you catch the child, and then you spank the hell out of them for falling out the window. How dare you fall out the window and scare me like that? But Mom, you're not supposed to be able to walk. You got cancer. You can't do this. You can't do that. How could you come and catch me? Mom, thank you so much, Mom. And she, you're right. You're right. I was in terrible pain. I was in terrible cancer. And I forgot about it. I forgot about it. Has that ever happened? Far more often than we know. But when you know this is one of the rules of the game, then you begin to play it knowingly. So if you have a problem, you take your attention away from the problem to the solution, whatever that solution may be that you would like to see happen. And maybe you don't know what it is. Maybe you have a body that's kind of filled with a few problems, and you'd like to just be, I'd like to be peaceful again. Ah, that's a good one. I'd like to be peaceful again. So then you say, I am peace. Ah, I am peace. I am peace. And you just go through all of the ways that you ever experience being at peace. Relaxing, quietness, gentleness. And pretty soon, all of your thought goes away from dwelling on the problem to dwelling on peace. Now, we received some interesting things on the email, and one of them is about abundance. And it says, if you want abundance, start thinking about it. Concentrate on it. Concentrate on what you want to do with the money. Concentrate on how the money is going to flow to you. Concentrate on you're holding out a vessel for it. You're receiving it. You're reaping it. You're enjoying the harvest of this abundance. Abundance, abundance. Well, now, the article is good, but I would rather teach everyone who comes to us and would like to experience abundance, which is a perfectly wonderful thing to experience. I'd rather teach them one little phrase, I am independently wealthy. No matter what the source of money is in my life, I'm independently wealthy. It's always there. The stock market can go up and down. The economy of the country can go up and down. The bank can burn where my money is and it's untouched. Anything can happen, but I am independently wealthy. My wealth does not depend upon anything. Now, Sam would like to have a new pair of shoes. So he thinks to himself, I'd like a new pair of shoes. I'm going to go dancing. And I want them to be beautiful dancing shoes, comfortable, and really that let me dance so wonderfully. And he says, oh my God, those kind of shoes are kind of expensive. And then he says, oh, now where would I ever find a store that has them? And what color should I get? What kind of suit am I going to have? Am I going to have a dark suit or a light suit? Oh, so many thoughts to have to think about of my dream, what's important to me. I make it something light like this so that you don't get too hung up on it. All right, now, what am I going to do? And then Sam says, oh, yes, my wonderful, 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 wonderful friend Herb Byerly taught me to say, I am independently wealthy. And if I am independently wealthy, I not only have all the money I could choose for any pair of shoes I want, but I've already got the shoes. I've already got everything. Everything is already in divine order. Whatever I think about before I even think about it, it's there. The Bible says that. before you even think about it. God has already answered you. Because you are God. God is you. And whatever thoughts in your mind, God in your mind, in you, as you, is already answering it. Already making it available to you. And then the voice inside of you says, now, go to the front door. Someone will be there delivering a package to you of what you had what you're thinking of next. So, what's this here? Go to the front door. Somebody's got a package for me. And you go out the back door, and you miss it. You don't pay attention. Or you go to the front door, and the person at the front door says, are you Mr. So-and-so? Yeah. This is a package for you. But you're a poor person. You shouldn't have this very wealthy package from what's this very expensive store, any place? The one in Texas, you know, there's a store in Texas for people who have everything. Yeah. And but anyhow, I don't have to fool with that store either. But this very expensive store sends you this box, and you say, my goodness sakes, you know. And then you say, what do I do? Oh, nothing. Don't I have to sign for it? Oh, sign for it. Do you think we'd take it to the wrong person? You know? And, I really am not dressed, you know, and you might think it's not me. Mister, who you are shines forth from your eyes so beautifully, I don't have any doubt. I know. Now, I know who you are. Do you know who you are? You're wonderful, you're fantastic, you're glorious, you're perfect, you're abundant, you're healthy, you're a spiritual master. Ellen, you like that?
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes.
All right, now open the door. But the thing is, when you are guided, even in the most slight or simple way, follow it. Because just remember, if the divine has to thunder at you to get through, you got problems. You really haven't been listening. But when the divine, in just a subtle, simple little nudge, says, go do this, go do it. And the divine might be in Herb saying something to you.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And just follow it. But if you argue with Herb, who is presumably working with your divine center, if you argue with Herb over anything, you're missing the little nudge. Now you say, but Herb is just a damn stupid human being. You know, Herb is nothing more than a human being. He certainly doesn't know anything more than anybody else. He needs to go to the doctor. He needs to go to the dentist. He needs to go and have his head examined. He needs all these things, you know. And so why should I listen to him? Well, that's a good point. That's a good point. If those are things you think about Herb, I wouldn't listen to him either. You know? I wouldn't listen to him either. But if that's not the Herb you have, then listen to him. I won't dwell upon the points right now, but if you think I have to go to the doctor because I have to go to the doctor, then you haven't even opened your eyes a little bit. But anyhow, open them. Open them. And when you open them, no judgment, no possession, only perfect harmony. Now, what are we going to concentrate on here to experience the positive results? We're going to concentrate on positive things, right? As we concentrate on positive things, we have positive results. I am wonderful. Did you talk to Ingeborg on the phone this morning in Switzerland? She's over in Switzerland. Here she is having supper in Switzerland as we were having breakfast here in Campbell. I mean, that's an interesting time frame. And what did she say? I said, may I speak to my princess, please? She says, this is Inga. She knew right who I was talking about. And she was just sparkly and alive and alert and happy, just as though she were on top of the world, and she is. Now, why is she on top of the world? You don't really understand why until I tell you. But you want to give me a point that you think you might be touching on? Why is she so happy?
Being herself.
She's being herself. That's very close. Why is she so happy?
Because she is happiness.
I'm sorry?
She is happiness.
She is happiness, yeah. It's obvious. Okay, Ellen, why is she...
She's on her own.
That's it. She's being herself and on her own in happiness. And you see, she is doing exactly what she wants to do in her own way, and nobody can tell her anything, even when she should let people tell her things. But doesn't it tell you something? Doesn't that tell you something? Now, if people were not dependent, how happy they would be. If people were not dependent on other people, on Social Security, on their job. We had a talk at breakfast this morning about a job. Yeah. We talk about women who sell themselves, you know, for money, and men who sell themselves for money. And then we stopped and thought, everybody's doing that. Every single place where you go to work for somebody or a company, you're selling yourself for money. Now, what should we do? Is that going to bring us happiness? Nope. We just got to sell ourselves for more money later. And then we want to get more money, you know. So we ask for raises. And then the boss says, hey, you're at the top of the level that I'm paying for that job. Then you know what your question should be? Your question should be, how do I prepare myself for a higher level job? Not just say, okay. How do I prepare myself for a higher level job? In the government, they have you take tests. You continually take tests to move on up. And the same with the military. Well, now, what about civil employment? Do they have programs like that? Sure they do. How many people know of it? Not very many. Only those who go to the top. When a man joins a company or a woman as a janitor, as a janitor, but that's good, you know. But as a janitor, how many of them rise to be the chairman of the board? Not many. But when they do, woo-hoo, how wonderful. Well, what did they have more than anybody else starting out as a janitor? They believed in themselves. And they said, I am independently wealthy. They said, I'm in my right place at the right time, doing the right thing in the right way for the right persons now. Right now. Now, you see, when you say that, what you do is you open the door. When you say that, then you have positive results. And if you think you have positive results because you have beat somebody to pieces to get it, you're wrong. Because you have gone and you worked for some employer, you're wrong. Because in an instant, that business could go belly up and you wouldn't have a job. In an instant, they could fire you. Or in an instant, they could do something to you. And then, hey, you hit something hits you on the head. You're walking down the street, a stone pops off of a tire, hits you on the head, and you lose your memory. And you can't work for that company anymore. You don't know what you're doing. You get amnesia. You get all sorts of things. And these are negatives, but hey, the only thing that is pure and good for us is what? Believing in ourselves. I am independently wealthy. I am surrounded by harmonious beings and harmonious circumstances. Everywhere I go, my life is filled with joy and peace and happiness. Yeah. It's up to each one of us to take that gift. It's up to each one of us to realize that I have positive results when I put positive input in. I have negative results when I put negative input in. So think about that. When are you going to stop putting negative input in and stop having negative results? When are you going to start putting positive inputs in and start having positive results? And I say now. Now is the acceptable time. Now think on this. is very wonderful, very powerful, very meaningful. And Ellen?
Yeah.
You got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, accentuate the positive, and don't mess with Mr. In Between. No, don't mess with Mr. In Between. Now you see, we say don't mess with the negative. Accentuate the positive. And you eliminate the negative, as we were saying here, by giving it no attention. What's the best way to close the chapter of marriage in your life? Is when they pay no attention to each other. When the papa comes home and doesn't even pay attention to his wife. She soon says, that's enough. I'm in this world too. When you just don't give attention, you make a person feel totally unwanted, totally undesired. So, accentuate the positive and don't mess with Mr. In Between. So have a lovely day and know that I am with you always and I love you always, and I am not your God. You are your God, and you're wonderful. I love you. I love you. I love you.